Amen. Within the Bible, there is a particular verse that probably a lot of people are familiar with, or at least a saying that comes out of that verse that you're familiar with, and maybe you've heard it. It's, "My cup overflows." And depending on your approach to life, that could be a great statement, right? Like, God is blessing me so much. Like, God is providing so many different ways, and there's this outpouring of goodness in my life. I mean, I don't even have the ability to contain all that God is doing. It is so real in my life, it is just overflowing. There's another way you could approach that. Oh, man, my cup is, it's spilling over. Oh, great, thank you, God. I got a mess now. Oh, I'm spilling everywhere. We got apple juice stains on the back seat. Root beer on my khakis, like, God is blessing me so much, this is going to be a hassle, right? We can approach it that way. There's two ways to look at that. And so during this month, we want to discuss the idea of looking at the upside, looking at the upside in the situations of life, looking at the upside in the realities of the things that we face. We're going to break it down into two different parts. During the month of November, you won't be surprised by this, but we're going to focus on gratitude. How it is that you and I can begin to develop an attitude where our hearts and our minds choose to see the upside in a situation. Then in December, we're going to transition to part number two and change our focus to the idea of generosity. And our goal will be to, how do we grow as generous people in the process of seeing the upside? And what we have to face and what we have to recognize and have to deal with in life, the crazy reality is that no matter how much we go through or what the situation is, the upside, it's a choice. Every single day, we get to choose. We get to decide if we're going to find the upside. We get to decide, oh man, God, you are so blessing my life. Or we get to go, oh man, it's negative, and now my stinking cup is overflowing and I got to mop the sticky floor. Thanks, God. Right? It's a choice. We get to decide how we're going to live. We can live like a buzzard or a hummingbird. Right? Every morning, what's a buzzard do? You know, a buzzard, it wakes up and it's like, ooh, you know, clears its head and stretches its wings. And then it starts to think, well, I guess I'm going to go fly around and find some dead stuff. Right? Hopefully something got run over and there's some fresh roadkill. Right? And so every day we get to wake up and decide, I'm going to choose to be a buzzard. I don't have what it takes. Life stinks. Boy, I can't stand who I am. The economy is doomed. Morals are falling everywhere. School stinks. Nobody can be trusted. Churches are dying everywhere. Teenagers, don't even get me started on teenagers. Get off my lawn, kid. Right? I'm just going to fly around and see if I can find some dead stuff. Or the flip side is a hummingbird, right? Every morning, hummingbird wakes up, clears his little head, and stretches out his wings. And that's about as far as they go. Yeah. Like, starts, like, well, I guess I'm going to go fly around and see if I can find something sweet, right? Maybe there's some flowers blooming, or maybe that nice old lady filled that little plastic flower thing. I know she's just checking out my wings, but the concoction is so delicious, I don't care. Right? Like, every day we get to wake up and we get to decide. Choose hummingbird? Man, I'm alive. It's another day I get to live. I live in a free country. Churches, man, they're doing their best at the things they think are best. Great. I have so many resources available to me. Have you noticed teenagers all over the place volunteering? Making life better for other people? You know what? I think I'm just going to fly around. I'm going to find something sweet. I'm going to be full of life and look to the future. Now, this isn't just some, you know, motivational mumbo jumbo where we try and trick ourselves into thinking, okay, well, there's destruction happening all around and I'm just going to... No. In fact, God actually points to this. God actually instructs us to do this in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is about in the middle of your Bible. The verses are on your screen. Or on the screen, they're in your message notes. Here's what God says in Proverbs. He says, if you search for good, you will find favor. But if you search for evil, it will find you. There's a really good chance, hopefully not many of you, but you're so good at finding death and ugliness, you've already started to decide, I don't think I like this series. You know what? I don't even like this church. I don't like the fact that he wore shorts again. Music's too loud. Lights are too dark. Why don't people bring their Bibles? You keep putting the verses on the screen. They're never going to bring their Bibles if you keep doing that. Stop telling us where to find it in the book. We're not dumb. We know how to use our table of contents, right? Like, I don't need any of this new age positive thinking, making bird noises stuff. Don't call me a buzzard, right? Like, give me some real Bible teaching. If that's you, I'm sorry that I was poking at you. But you already hate me, so nothing lost, right? Like, so understand this. This is not some like pop psychology or like talk yourself into positive theology kind of a concept. The fact is, we have a choice we get to make. And the reality is, that choice doesn't need to be based on anything that we can control or anything that we've experienced. Because you and I, we don't actually control that much. Our experiences are so limited and so tainted by our emotions. So our choice is, we get to find the upside, and it gets to be grounded in something that we can depend on. So what that means is that our approach then needs to, we're not going to be optimistic based on what we feel. We're going to be optimistic based on what God says. Because how we feel changes all the time, right? It just depends. Like, how much sleep did you get? Did your team win? Did your kids do their chores? Did you use too much garlic? Did the elections turn out the way you hoped? Were the jeans on sale, right? Like, our emotions, up, down, left, right. If we're optimistic based on that, it'll be a roller coaster. So instead, we have to choose to be optimistic based on what God says. And maybe you're not necessarily sure, like, well, what does God say that I can be optimistic about? So here's what I thought we would do. I thought we'd look at 8 reasons I'm optimistic from Romans 8. Now, here's the reality. Romans 8 doesn't actually have 8 reasons for us to be optimistic. Actually, there's a pretty strong argument for 23 reasons within Romans 8 that we can actually see the upside to life. But there's some practical reasons why I chose 8 rather than 23. First reason is that 8 reasons in Romans 8 sounds way cooler. 23 reasons in Romans, no, yeah. Second reason, we would never fit it onto your message notes if we did 23. Like, the font, we barely got the 8. It would be too small, or we'd have to do like a poster. So we didn't want to do that. And the third, and probably most important, 23 would take way too long. Right? And some of you that struggle to stay awake already, like 23, you would fall asleep for sure. And then you'd be stuck being a pessimistic buzzard for the rest of your life. So we're going to just... And the fourth reason, actually, I came up with a fourth reason, is that 8 is enough. Oh, that one got the most laughs? Really? Oh my goodness. I thought, I'm going to just throw that one in as a kind of a... And those of you that don't get it, that means you're old. You don't know there was a TV show called 8 is Enough. It's probably on YouTube, and it's not worth your time. Okay, there's some people, don't make fun of 8 is enough. If I haven't convinced you by 8, we're probably not going to get there. So real quick, though, before we dive into these 8, if you were paying attention at the beginning, you heard that this is like part 1, and that we've been focusing on the idea of gratitude. And actually, this morning, we're not going to talk about gratitude at all. But the reason is, it will be impossible for any of us to be grateful or show gratitude for anything that we have or however life is going if all we see in life is horrible. If everything we look at is like, So in order to actually begin to establish an environment where we can display gratitude, the first thing that we have to begin to discover is this sense, this choice to find the upside in life. So we got 8 reasons, which means we have to move fast. So if we come to a meeting that you don't really like, just hold tight. We're going to be done with that one quick. So here's the first one. First reason is, my sins are forgiven and my eternity is secure. We absolutely, completely can find the upside in the fact that our sins are forgiven. Our eternity is secure. If we only had one reason to be optimistic, this reason would likely be enough. It should be enough. Here's what it says in Romans 8. Romans 8, 1 and 2 says this. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Anyone who is called on Jesus for forgiveness, is called on Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins, been made new in Christ. Our sins are forgiven. Our eternity is secure. Which essentially means that every time that you and I have ever broken relationship with God or broken relationship with another person, if we ask Jesus, will you remove that from my life record? Would you clear that from me when you look at me? Jesus is like, yeah, it's all gone. You know what? It's all removed. It's all washed away. It's no longer a part of who you are. I don't hold it against you anymore. That's a pretty serious upside. That's some pretty good stuff, right? Like, I don't know about you. I'm pretty good at sinning. Right? Like, I got lots of reasons I don't deserve to be released from the penalty. This makes me incredibly optimistic. The goodness of God is so great and so real. He said, you know what? I'm going to send my son Jesus. I'm going to let him die in your place. And then he's going to rise from the dead so that you can have life and you can experience life that lasts forever. That's an upside. If you're a hummingbird, this is sweet. Right? I mean, this is kind of an easy one. Now, if you don't know that to be true for yourself, you're like, I don't know what you're talking about in terms of this forgiveness. I'd like that to be true. Here's what I want you to do. On the back of your Connect card, there's just a spot for you to say, I'm interested in knowing more about Jesus. I want to start to have a dialogue with you. I just don't want you to be like, yeah, I want to have a conversation so you can understand what that means. So if you don't know Jesus personally, would you just mark that on the back of your Connect card and we'll start talking about how you can experience the upside of that. And if you're here this morning, you're like, I don't want to wait for your email. I want to know today. When we're done here, would you just pull me aside and we'll chat and talk about what that would look like? Second reason to be optimistic is that Jesus is at the right hand of God praying for me. If you were at Fusion last week, you heard we talked about the value of the person that's at the right hand of the person in leadership. Essentially, the person that's at the right hand of a person in leadership is the second person in power. It also is the person that the king or the person in leadership looks to for advice and counsel. It's also the person that the king listens to first. So when that person comes with concerns or issues or ideas, the king's like, okay, I'll listen to you. Romans 8 says this. It says, Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Jesus is sitting right next to God. Right next to the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-eternal God, talking to him about us. And maybe you're like, well, what does intercede mean? It's just a really fancy word for praying. Basically, it's saying Jesus is going to God the Father on our behalf. So essentially, instead of you or I having to sit there telling God, hey, would you forgive me? Hey, would you help me? Hey, would you bring change in my life? Hey, would you grow me? Jesus is like, I got this. And he sits right next to God and he's like, hey, all of the things that Brent needs and the forgiveness that he needs, could you do that for him? Could you work that in his life for him? If you're used to a pastor that kind of has life all figured out and never has doubts or questions, just plug your ears for a second. I don't get prayer. I don't get it. I know it works. I just don't get it. I can't actually even tell you how it works. Like, there's a part of me, I have no idea how in one situation, this ongoing prayer of a little old grandma can change the heart of her grandson and draw him back to Jesus. But at the same time, I have no idea how millions of people can pray for injustice around the world that we think needs to change, and yet it doesn't change. Like those two, that doesn't make sense to me. I don't get it. Because a lot of times when I think about the way that I pray, when I start to really analyze it, I kind of find myself pretty selfish in my prayer. Right? God, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. You know, make my life easier, smoother, shinier. Right? Like that's what we pray for. But the amazing thing about Jesus is that he knows exactly what we need even more than we know that we need it. And so then Jesus goes and he talks to God on our behalf, making up the difference for all of the nonsense that we might pray. For all of the ideas and the requests that we even forget that we need to ask. All of the things we don't even know we need to ask. Jesus is like, I got your back. In fact, I got your back and I'm sitting right next to him. He's listening to me. I'm in the right-hand seat. I'll handle this for you. And we continue to pray. And we continue to ask Jesus. And then Jesus takes it all and he makes it make sense. And he passes it on to God the Father. I don't know if you've ever had one of those experiences where somebody's praying for you. And they're the type of person that like seems to really know how to pray. Right? And as they pray, it just like it becomes incredibly powerful and inspiring. And it's just making change as they're praying. We've been to El Salvador several times and down to visit our sister church. They know how to pray. Man, they start praying and put your hands on their shoulders and they start praying and they're speaking in Spanish. I don't even know the words that they're saying. And the presence of God becomes so real. And our friends in El Salvador are amazing at praying. And yet it's nothing compared to Jesus. And the upside is that whatever you're going through, Jesus has the ear of God the Father. And he's keeping him completely up to speed on everything that you need. Third reason that we have to be optimistic is that my future victory is greater than my present pain. I can be optimistic that whatever I'm going through right now can be used by God to sharpen and conform me into the image of Jesus. The upside of what is happening in this present moment is that in the end, later on, the point, it will become clear that Jesus is working through me. Verse 18 says this: I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. That's kind of easy for Paul to say. I mean, he doesn't have to go through the things that we deal with, right? Like political correctness and health insurance debacles and world terrorists and governments trying to take our rights and identity theft and all the kinds of addictions that we have, you know, substance and gambling and porn. Like, Paul didn't have to suffer with that stuff. But he saw the upside in the things that he did suffer. In fact, he suffered through some things we'll probably never face. But he recognized that God would use those things to guide him, that in the end he would be transformed and look more like Jesus. Paul had amazing understanding of what Jesus went through. He went through some of the same sufferings that Jesus went through. And as a result, he knew how Jesus responded, and he began to develop that same response. Paul was beaten in a similar way that Jesus was beaten. In fact, Paul was beaten so much, they thought they killed him. But he was just mostly dead. He obediently went where God sent him, and then the boat sank. And he got bit by a snake. And people doubted his abilities, and they questioned what he knew. His suffering was certainly different than ours. And he said, listen, what you're going through right now, that pain, it's real, and it sucks, and it hurts, and it's not fun, and it can be expensive, and I know you don't like it. But if you'll compare it to what eventually will come, the two aren't on the same level at all. None of us really remember learning how to walk, right? I mean, you don't really remember it. But we fell all over the place and crashed into tables and we ripped up our knees and bruised our foreheads. And like it was you were a wreck. I don't know if you remember. You could not do it at all. Right? But learning to walk, there's a lot of suffering. But we never walk up to a kid and be like, yeah, you know what? The suffering is too great. You should just crawl, dude. Like, find some big people that will carry you everywhere. We don't do that, right? Because the benefit of walking doesn't compare to the suffering of learning to walk. So the upside of the suffering that we're going through right now and the transformation that will be revealed in the end, where Jesus becomes evident in our life, doesn't even compare to the suffering we're going through. Next reason that we can see the upside is that my mind is filled with the peace of God. Romans 6 or 8:6 says this: the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. This past week, my family suffered a pretty tragic loss. I have a cousin who's been a missionary down in Mexico. He's actually the third generation of missionaries in Mexico. He took some students climbing, and my cousin ended up actually falling about 100 feet and died. Young guy, married, three kids, all young. This makes no sense, right? Here's a young guy who not only has given his entire life to serve God, his parents have given their entire lives to serve God, and his grandparents gave their lives to serve God. And he uses climbing to connect with students that weren't interested in the Bible or interested in church. A mind that is controlled by death has no chance to overcome or process this tragic accident. But those of us that decide to step into the family of God, our minds begin to be renewed. Our minds begin to be transformed by the presence of God. His word begins to renew who we are, and it begins to draw on this eternal perspective of God's truth. Suddenly we begin to see things with the perspective of his goodness. Suddenly we begin to recognize that God, in the midst of a tragedy, can bring about his glory in the middle of the worst situation possible. In the middle of a trial, God's supernatural peace can be beyond anything that we could ever understand. I jumped online and I grabbed a couple of Facebook posts that John's sister posted that begin to reveal a response that can only be explained by a peace that is greater than what we have in ourselves. She wrote this: "Today was really hard, but God was with us moment to moment. Thank you to everyone who has sent messages. Your prayers and presence are a great blessing to me and my family. Wow, Johnny, you're so loved. I wish you could have seen how packed the chapel was tonight. All honor and glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May he be glorified in your passing as he was in your life." This happened on the, she posted this the day he died. "For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. This verse was true yesterday. It was true this morning when my brother woke up and decided to go climbing. And I know it's true now as we grieve his loss. We may change, our lives may change in an instant, but God does not change. Johnny knew that and he lived it, and now he's in heaven tasting God's goodness with no restraint." That makes no sense. You can't explain it. And if we could explain it, it wouldn't be supernatural. It wouldn't be everything we need it to be. And people wonder, how in the world could anybody respond this way? How could anybody get through this? Certainly not on their own strength. It requires a mind and a spirit that allows God's peace to move into our life to be everything that we need it to be. That doesn't mean the pain goes away. It just means that God is present in the process and begins to bring his peace that is greater and more than anything we could ever create or imagine on our own. And it doesn't even have to be big stuff, right? I mean, just this last week, I discovered that the clutch in my car was going out, which is right on top of me. I had some heart, there was something maybe with my heart, so there's some medical bills that came from that. There was something that my wife had to go in and have checked out, and then my son has broken 3 different bones in the last 2 months, right? So, like every day, something new from ProLiance and this. And I'm like, oh my goodness, really? Right? So then my clutch goes out. I'm like, oh. And all of this is happening right after we've gotten to this place where financially we're like, okay, we're ready to move ahead. I'm like, really? God, what is going on? Like, it feels like death all over the place, right? And God is saying, hey, maybe I helped you get to a place that's financially secure, you know, not so that you could necessarily go forward at this moment, so that this moment doesn't kill you. You can manage this now. And my mind began to find this peace and began to settle in a way that I hadn't anticipated. Another reason, the upside for us, is that if God is for me, who can be against me? It's exactly what Paul says in verse 31 and 33. He says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. It's so empty. It's so we can be so tempted to say, wow, people are against me right now. Yeah, probably, actually. Probably right. People criticize, people won't like you, people take shots at you. But the reality is, if you're doing what God says to do, if he's for you, it doesn't really matter. If God approves of what you're doing, it doesn't matter if people don't like what you're doing. And the more you live for Jesus, the more people will probably make fun and persecute and ridicule you for your faith. But if God's got your back, it doesn't really matter. If God's directing you to do something, say something, go somewhere, be involved in whatever it is, if we respond, even if it seems impossible, if God is with you, nothing can stop that. No person, no incident, nothing can stop us from doing what he intends for us to do. Okay, 3 reasons left to be optimistic. You've almost made it. You're almost done. Just keep thinking positive, okay? Next one. God's Spirit helps me in my weakness. The upside to being weak is it's exactly when God is best. 24 and 26 says, who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Holy Spirit is there to help us when we're weak. The Holy Spirit is there to help us when we're down and pick us up. When we're hurting, the Spirit comforts. When we're alone, the Spirit is our friend. Whenever we're weak, the Spirit of God is what makes us strong. We get to be optimistic because we never have to be alone. And when we're weak, that's when we get to know God in an intimate way more than ever, because now His strength comes along to carry us. Even in the bad day, even in the day that we never wanted, we get to know God in a personal way that's different and better than ever. God never comes along and says, hey, in your strength, I'll be strength. Because we don't think we need it. So He's like, I'm not even going to offer it to you. But when we realize that we're weak, He's like, I'm right here. I'm ready. I'll be the strength that you need. Also, we see the upside in life because God is working everything in my life for good. Verse 28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. I know how some of you really like it when I take some time and break down the original language and get into the Greek a little bit. So I want to break down this word all real quick. The interesting thing about the translation of the word that's used in the Greek for the word all is it means all. It means everything, right? The good things, the bad things, the mediocre things, the glad things, the things we wish would never happen, the thing that's right now driving you crazy. God is working in the middle of that for the good of those who love Him, who have been called to the purpose. And His good purpose is to help you and I become more like Jesus. And He didn't necessarily send the tough thing that you're going through or the difficulty that you're facing or the pain that you're dealing with in that situation. But the amazing thing is if we'll allow God to work in our lives, to use that situation, He will use it. He's so good He can transform who we are and take us into a position where we begin to take on His characteristics and begin to develop the patterns of thinking that are His. Here it is. You've made it to the very last reason to be optimistic. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. 38 and 39 says, for I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No matter where you go, God is there. No matter what you do, God still loves you. No matter what happens in your life, God is for you. You can't outrun His love. There's not something that you can do that will cause Him to stop loving you. You can't run away too fast. It just chases you down. He kind of does it that way. I mean, the fact is right now, if you're like, I'm actually trying to get away from God. I'm trying to walk away. Guess what? You're hearing this right now this morning because God is on your back. He is tracking you. He's like, I'm not giving up. You're not that good. And maybe you're like, I don't really like this. I'm not sure I really want to. There's something inside of you that still wants to believe. That's God saying, I'm right here. And when you and I, when we try and walk away, God's just right behind us. And as soon as we turn around, He's like, yeah, I'm right here. I'm right here. There is a God who is bigger than the worst thing in the world. There is a Savior whose name is greater than every other name. And nothing can remove us or take us away from their love, from His love for us. We can be optimistic, not because of anything we feel. We can be optimistic because of what God says. There's some pretty incredible upsides, even in the middle of a world that's falling apart. When we face the very worst thing that could ever happen to us, when our life stinks, when we can't even believe where we find ourselves, we have to step back. Be like, man, there's a lot of bad things going on. I'm not going to look at the negative perspective. In fact, my God is way too good for that. I'm going to discover the upside in this and how God can work and make something a possibility that I never even thought could happen. every week in your program, we put these connect cards and we challenge you to think through what your next steps are going to be. And reflect and think, what does God want to do in your life right now? How is he calling you to respond? Gives us a chance to pray for you as God is working, but what is God calling you to do? Maybe you just need to get into Romans 8 and read through it again and recall all of the reasons to be optimistic. Maybe it'd be good for you to identify which of the 8 reasons to be optimistic you most needed to hear, and then think and pray about it this week. Maybe you just need to choose to find good. Maybe you need to talk with someone you trust about reasons to be optimistic in the areas that you tend to be negative. Band's going to come in just a minute, but what is God challenging you to do this morning? As you consider this idea of the upside and choosing to be optimistic based on what God has said. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Romans 8 and all of the amazing reasons for us to see the upside. God, would you help us to just soak it in and kind of bask in all of the amazing things that you do for us. Thank you for your love and your generosity. Help us to begin to develop an attitude of gratefulness because of all the things that you've said. In Jesus' name, amen. Right after this service, if you're not aware, we're going to have a baptism service, which basically is going to happen in the gym. We've got 3 individuals that are going to be baptized this morning, so I would just encourage you, when the band is done and David dismisses you, to head over into the gym. We'll get started just about 10 minutes after service is done, so come be a part of that. If you've never been a part of our baptisms before, we have just one rule, and that is that you cheer and go crazy when they come out of the water. Like, that's the rule. And don't throw things in the pool. I guess that's the other one. No running by the pool. But anyway, that's going to happen right after this. There's some people that are just stepping forward and saying, you know what? Jesus is real in my life. I want to live my life in such a way that brings honor and glory to him, and I want everybody to know it. So if you love Jesus, you should be there, first of all, and support these people as they take this big step. During this last song, some ushers are going to come. They're going to pass some buckets. If you've got those connect cards, you can drop them in there. As well, if you brought any offering, you can drop it in there as well. So thanks, Stan. We have one last song, and then you'll be dismissed.